Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Most of the viewing area fell below freezing and some places well below freezing early this morning. That signals the end of the growing season. I'll show you what that means and how much colder it'll be tomorrow.
Also, a man accused of opening fire at a fairground appeared in court a short time ago. Who is credited with convincing him to surrender to authorities?
And a Cary man arrested for threatening to shoot children says it was all a misunderstanding. Breaking details coming your way.
Those temperatures dropped down to and below freezing across our area this morning. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center to show you why it will be just as cold again tomorrow morning. Take a look at the temperatures that we saw this morning. 21 in Roxboro, 28 in Durham, 29 Goldsboro, 30 in Fayetteville, 21 in Southern Pines, and 33 in Clinton. So the bulk of the viewing area did fall down to or below freezing this morning. That means that the growing season has ended. That means that most of the plants, or a lot of them, who that would normally die because of cold temperatures would have done that at least now or sometime in the next few hours. Tomorrow morning is going to be cold as well, but you won't see a freeze warning because we only see the Weather Service issue this freeze warning the first time we see it in the fall. Going forward, we would expect to see more of this, and that's exactly what we're going to see tomorrow morning. It is clear out. When we have clear skies, oftentimes our temperatures can drop fairly easily. That's what we'll see tonight. We have warmed up to 49 degrees right now, and right now it's 50 in Clinton, 47 in Southern Pines, and 49 in South Hill. But clear skies and clear and dry conditions mean it's going to be another cold night tonight. 29 in Durham, 28 in Lewisburg, 30 in South Hill. Temperatures should look very similar to what we saw this morning. 23 Robbins, 26 in Sanford, 31 degrees in Smithfield. So cold start for us tomorrow morning. This afternoon, looking at a high of 57, we do have a big warm-up in our forecast. And once we get past tomorrow morning, both our afternoon highs and our morning lows will start to climb. I'll show you how much warmer it will be in the mornings coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. There are several white flag shelters across our viewing area. You can find a list of them on our website. And for more information about declared white flag nights, volunteer opportunities, and how to donate, visit wakewhiteflag.org.
And breaking news out of Cary this morning. Police have arrested a man for a second time. He's accused of threatening to shoot children. That arrest came an hour after he called WRAL's newsroom and roughly 14 hours after he was arrested the first time. We're talking about 46-year-old Kevin Douglas, and WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is following this story. Joins us live right now with the new information she just learned from police moments ago. Chelsea.
Yeah, we should mention, though, last night Douglas actually bonded out of jail. He posted his $1,000 bond, and as you mentioned, he's accused of threatening mass violence against children in the Cary area. Here, according to police. Now, early this morning, I actually spoke to Douglas's mother. She confirmed to me that her son does, in fact, have a mental illness, but he has been refusing to get treatment. Let's show you the suspect that we're talking about. This is 46-year-old Kevin Douglas. Police say yesterday they got a notification from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children about someone threatening to become an active shooter against children. After investigating, they arrested Douglas yesterday at an extended stay off Weston Parkway in Cary. Several authorities were involved, as well as SWAT teams. Now, he is charged with cyber stalking and communicating threats. Now, after he bonded out, he actually called our newsroom around 8:30 this morning. He mentioned seeing himself on TV more than 55 times regarding his arrest. And this is what he said in speaking with our Ken Smith. He said he went to the Missing and Exploited Children's website to file a report of someone making a threat against children. He said he was only filing a report, and he thinks the FBI is trying to pin this crime on him, telling our Ken Smith this was all a misunderstanding. Now, we should mention Douglas was arrested early this morning, again, just about 9:30 after he called our newsroom. He's back in the Wake County Detention Center under a $25,000 bond for violating his pretrial conditions. That means yesterday was when he was in front of a judge. The judge told him that he couldn't use any sort of electronic device, whether it be phone or computer. He's accused of doing that and back in jail this afternoon. Now, we should mention over the past 15 years, he's also been charged with cyber stalking, three times in Wake County, but those charges have been dismissed. We're learning here that Cary PD will soon hold a press conference about Douglas, and we'll bring you those updates on our newscasts and on WREL.com. Jeff.
All right, certainly a lot going on there, Chelsea. We know you'll stay on top of it. Thanks for that update right there. Now, we have two traffic situations to tell you about as well this lunch hour. WRL's Brian Schrader is in the WRL Traffic Center right now with a look at some backups.
Jeff, about an hour ago, you may have received that push alert from WRL News about a crash in Chapel Hill on I-40. For a while, it closed those eastbound lanes. Good news in the past couple of minutes, everything has cleared out there and now traffic's flowing freely. I'm watching a crash, though, in Apex on 64 right around the Laura Duncan Road intersection. Reportedly, someone is pinned in that crash. Expect some heavy delays in both directions of 64 between Lake Pine Drive and Davis Drive till they're able to get that cleared.
The Southern Nash High School student accused of shooting four people at the Wilson County Fairgrounds made his first appearance in court this morning. Braulio Fuentes Martinez is now being held on a $1 million bond. WRL's Eric Miller has been following this story and joins us live with more. Eric, we also learned new details about the shooting itself.
Renee, when prosecutors were speaking here inside the Wilson County Courthouse this morning, they say that when police recovered the gun used in this shooting, there was still one bullet left inside the chamber. I want you to take a look at these photos now. This is Fuentes Martinez as he was being led into court this morning. The 18-year-old had hired an attorney for his first appearance, but asked the court to appoint one going forward, considering the seriousness of these charges. Of course, Fuentes Martinez is facing a slew of them, including attempted first-degree murder, all tied that shooting at a quinceañera at the Wilson County Fairgrounds early Sunday morning. Fuentes Martinez was on the run for days. You may even recall the U.S. Marshals Service got involved here. And a source tells WRAL News that during that time, he was texting with fellow students at Southern Nash High School. Police believe the guilt from those conversations he had was what ultimately led him to turn himself in to the Wilson Police Department just 24 hours ago. Now, the victims in this shooting have all been released from the hospital, and of course we'll be watching very closely to see what happens next time Fuentes Martinez is in court. Renee?
Eric Miller reporting live from Wilson County. Thanks. And happening later today, a court hearing on race and politics. And the big question here is, how much free speech should North Carolina judges have, especially when they criticize the justice system itself? State Supreme Court Justice Anita Earls is under investigation right now for comments that she made about racial and gender bias at the court. Earls is the only black justice and one of three women she sued to stop the investigation, saying it violates her First Amendment rights. This is all happening later on at 2 p.m., a federal judge in Greensboro will hear the arguments. We'll have more on the story coming up later in our evening newscast.
Thanks, Michelle. Updates on the Israel-Hamas war. The Rafah border crossing has seen the first foreign nationals and critically injured people make it out of the Gaza Strip and into Egypt, as Hamas and Israel agree that up to 500 people may cross daily. Trey Yingst is at the Israel-Gaza border, where Israel's military says its ground offensive is progressing.
Israeli artillery units are hammering the area along the Gaza border, targeting tunnels Hamas fighters have been using to ambush troops as the Gaza offensive intensifies. The IDF says 18 of its soldiers have been killed this week, and that number is expected to climb significantly. They're using attack helicopters and fighter jets to provide air support, but it's expected to be a challenging push as they close in on Gaza City.
The fighters continue to break down the lines of defense from Hamas in the northern Gaza Strip and take control of central areas in the region. We continue to intensify the activity and move forward.
Meanwhile, in southern Gaza, the Rafah crossing is open to foreigners for the second straight day, with thousands scrambling to get out while they can. About 400 Americans are still trapped, but sources tell Fox News they've been cleared to leave as soon as today. The White House and State Department now working on specific departure details.
Working nonstop to get Americans out of Gaza as soon and as safely as possible. This is a result of intense and urgent American diplomacy with our partners in the region.
President Biden also calling for a humanitarian pause to allow foreigners to leave Gaza and more aid to get in. The UN says thousands will die if that doesn't happen.
We have limited stocks of flour. We have a huge challenge with water. It continues to be a desperate situation.
That was Trey Yingst reporting. The diplomatic effort is expected to get a big boost tomorrow when Secretary of State Antony Blinken pays another visit to Israel and Jordan.
A pro-Palestinian group called Jewish Voice for Peace is holding a protest in Durham today, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Organizers plan to demonstrate at 4 this afternoon in CCB Plaza. It is calling on the Triangle's congressional delegation to sign a resolution for a ceasefire and allow humanitarian aid to enter Gaza. Let's take a look at stocks now. Look at the Dow, up 359 points. This is a day after the Federal Reserve hinted that it may be done with interest rate hikes. The S&P 500 up 60 points, on track to be its best day since May. And the NASDAQ also seeing a triple-digit rally right now.
There was some serious frustration for people at the DMV as offices across the state went offline yesterday. Five on Your Side got emails from viewers when that outage happened around 2:30, but officials tell us those systems were back up and running again after about 15 minutes, and they're working fine today. Tonight at 6, Keely Arthur is finding the fastest way to the front of the line at the DMV. How well do the department's new features work, and have they improved the DMV customer service experience over the last year? That is tonight on WRL News at 6. Today, we'll learn more about Raleigh's first bus rapid transit line in Raleigh. Small business owners along New Bern Avenue will hear an update from a panel of city leaders. They'll talk about plans for crime reduction in the area and give an update on the BRT project. It'll begin at 5:30 this evening at Martin Street Baptist Church, and all are welcome.
Next at noon, a showdown on the Senate floor. The ripple effect as one senator is blocking hundreds of military promotions.
Also, November 2nd, Christmas fatigue already. Are you feeling it? The new survey that says it's too soon.
Plus, a one-minute video could help reduce the risk of a child being harmed by a gun. At 12:30, see the video and results of new research.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama held firm on blocking hundreds of top-level military promotions. He's doing it in protest of the Defense Department's abortion travel policy. Yesterday, Republican senators angrily challenged his blockade of promoting military officers that has lasted months. Caroline Shively reports on the four-hour showdown on the Senate floor.
It's Senator Tommy Tuberville versus almost everyone else.
Object. Object. Object.
The Alabama Republican holding up nearly 400 military nominations and promotions over his objection to the Pentagon's policy to pay travel expenses for personnel seeking abortions.
Joe Biden and Secretary Austin put politics in the military, and it's about the right to life.
On Wednesday, members of Tuberville's own party highlighted the distinguished careers of more than 60 service members, pleading with him to approve the nominations, including Air Force General Laura Linderman.
This lady has proven herself time and time again, 3,000 hours, I'm sure most of it's combat, doing some of the hardest things any pilot can do. I'm pro-life too, but I don't want to start asking our military members litmus test questions.
One senator estimated by the end of the year, almost 90% of all general officer positions in the U.S. military could be affected by Tuberville's hold. Joining others already held up, including Admiral Robert Goucher.
Could you imagine if this admiral with this submarine experience walked out the door? Because the game's being played right now? That's a risk. That is a risk!
That was Caroline Shively reporting. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said the Senate is working on a resolution that would try to fast-track the military nominations.
A Florida woman charged with shooting through her front door and killing her neighbor will stand trial in June. Susan Lawrence waived her right to a speedy trial, which was supposed to begin on the 13th of this month. The attorney representing A.J. Owens' family said he respects the judge's decision to prepare for a good trial. Owens confronted Lawrence after Lawrence allegedly threw a skate at one of her children. Things escalated from there, and deputies say Lawrence shot through her front door and killed Owens. Two of former President Donald Trump's sons arrived at a New York court today to testify in a civil fraud trial against the Trump Organization. Donald Trump Jr. is an executive vice president of the family's organization, and so far he has testified he never worked on his father's financial statements. His brother Eric serves as executive vice president of the Trump organization. He is set to testify today. Their father, the 2024 Republican frontrunner, is set to take the stand on Monday.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas way too soon for many Americans. A new survey of 1,000 people polled, nearly 83% say they are sick and tired of the early countdown to Christmas. The phenomenon called Christmas fatigue stems from all the Christmas ads, music, decorations, and big sales leading up to the holiday. 4 in 5 Americans think Christmas decor at stores goes up too early. And nearly 77% believe social media posts and online shopping ads also start too soon. Those early holiday decorations might pay off for some homeowners. Oreo is giving out $100,000 in prizes to those who decorate their houses before Thanksgiving. Some homeowners associations ban early festive decoration displays. Oreo says it has its own HOA, the Holiday Oreo Allowance, that encourages people to get into the holiday spirit early. 100 Oreo fans will be rewarded $1,000 if they share photos of their decorated homes on social media by November 17th.
Bet they'll get a lot of takers. With winter on the way, it is a good idea to be sure to take proper care of your car. WRO's Kelsey Coffey walks us through some of the steps drivers should be prepared for these frosty mornings.
Well, a drop in temperature could mean some problems for your car. When the temperature drops like this, the first thought that a lot of people have is, I got to make sure I go warm it up before I have to leave the house. We checked in with the folks at Murray's Tire and Auto Service in Raleigh. They say you should test your battery and radiator. Do maintenance early to avoid a hefty price tag later.
If anything freezes in here, it could ruin everything in this car. You don't want to have to buy a new motor. I mean, you don't want to have to buy a new radiator because it's going to cost you. Especially if you come to a shop, you know, it's going to get pricey.
On cold days like this, you may notice that your tire pressure light is on. So be sure to give yourself a little extra time in your routine for the day to fill up those tires. And if you don't remember how much air you may need, just check your driver's side door. There should be a sticker that has that information. You can head on over to our website, WRL.com, for more information about how to keep up your car as the weather continues to get colder. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Good guidance there. You know, I was thinking about when people put up their Christmas decorations, and I could be persuaded to do it before Thanksgiving, but my husband's a hard no. He's like, nope, not until after Thanksgiving. Is that so you guys too?
You can't win the prize. Oh, yeah.
No, I won't be submitting.
There's no way they're going up before that. And we're
Halloween decorations are still up, and they're going to be through the weekend, I think.
Until Thanksgiving stuff rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some sunshine out there today. It's made a big difference in the temperature as well. Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center.
It certainly feels like the holidays with those cold temperatures this morning. We're going to see that again tomorrow. And then we're just going to be right back to normal or even above as we just cruise on into the 70s for highs over the weekend and early next week. This is a live look, of course, at the Whirligigs here in Wilson. A few of those are spinning around, but we don't see a whole lot of motion out here, which is way different than yesterday. We had really windy conditions. It made it feel especially uncomfortable with the temperature only at around 50, 51 degrees. It is 49 right now. Our dew point has continued to drop pretty steadily over the last 24 to 48 hours, down at 25. This is a measure of moisture in the atmosphere, so we have a dry air mass in place that will allow our temperatures to drop pretty quickly again overnight tonight, as well as the fact that we don't have much wind. We have still conditions. Those temperatures can drop very quickly, especially when we don't have any cloud cover. We'll climb it into the mid-50s for highs this afternoon. Right now, we're looking at 51 in Fayetteville, 50 in Rocky Mount, and 45 in Roxboro. So it's cool out there. We'll end up at 56 in Raleigh, 54 in Durham, and 57 in Fayetteville for highs this afternoon. We still have a lot of cold air, colder than normal temperatures across a good chunk of the country. That's the areas highlighted in blue. So we're below normal today, tomorrow. Finally, once we get into, say, Saturday, Sunday, our temperatures start to climb back above normal. And you can see that warm air spreads from the western part of the country right on into our region. Looks like it's going to stick around a while. So one more cold morning. I would recommend a big coat again for tomorrow morning. 28 in Lewisburg, 29 Rocky Mount. It will likely drop to 26 in Roxboro and 25 in Siler City. 31 in Wilson and Goldsboro. Could be 27 tomorrow morning in Southern Pines, 26 in Sanford, 31 in Raleigh and Smithfield. So that'll be pretty close to what we saw this morning. Our normal low is 44, and we climb back to that level by Sunday, and then it continues to warm up into the middle of next week. Fayetteville Veterans Day parade is Saturday. The weather for that looks good. Parade kicks off at around 10 o'clock. Expect temperature around 50, and we'll be close to 60, maybe even 65 degrees or so around the time that the parade ends. You know, in November, it can be tricky for Veterans Day parades, but it looks like it'll be a nice one in Fayetteville. City of Oaks Marathon is on Sunday. Nice and cool for the start of the race in the mid-40s. But by the time we get to lunchtime, temperatures are climbing up to around 60 and into the low to mid-60s by 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're running the whole marathon, it's going to get warm toward the end. As long as you're running some of those shorter races, temperatures should feel a little bit more comfortable. 7-day forecast, of course, coolest today. We jump into the mid-60s for tomorrow after a cold start. And our afternoon highs and morning lows all warm up into next week. We do see our clocks turning back on Saturday night as we go back to standard time. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to talk more about what's still happening in the tropics. So we have the rest of the month until the end of the tropical season.
Elizabeth, thanks. Cher once famously saying, if I could turn back time, right? And this weekend, we all will, to revert back to standard time. Today at 5, Laura Leslie looks at a new survey that had a majority of people saying they want to see an end to daylight saving time, plus the history behind why we still do it and efforts to bring it to an end.
And today at 4, Durham is in the spotlight as one of the nation's most recognizable papers. Yeah, Shelley Jackson speaks with Discover Durham about the city's feature in the New York Times 36 Hours in Durham and what it means for tourism. Well, still ahead, this new Nike wants to help your toddler get on a good foot. A new line of shoes designed to help your little one hit the ground running.
Too cute. With drier winter air coming and heading into cold and flu season, a humidifier could help your family sleep more comfortably. Later, a few precautions you should take to stop the spread of germs with that device.
Rideshare drivers in New York may be eligible for some back pay. New York Attorney General's office announced a $328 million settlement with Uber and Lyft. The investigations found the companies withheld certain pay from drivers and prevented them from receiving benefits under New York's labor laws. As part of the settlement, Uber will pay $290 million. Lyft will pay $38 million. More than 100,000 drivers in New York are eligible for those settlement funds and expanded benefits. The U.S. Justice Department is investigating agreements Live Nation has with venues and artists. The DOJ is reportedly looking into whether Live Nation's contracts limits them from working with other promoters and ticketing companies. The investigation comes after Ticketmaster, which is owned by Live Nation. Competitors say Live Nation offers artists more money than other promoters can and chooses venues that it controls, leading to consumers paying more for tickets.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some really exciting news out of RDU this afternoon. Iceland Air has announced they will be adding more flights at RDU on May 20th of next year. The airline will expand its nonstop schedule to daily year-round service. Right now, they offer four-day-a-week seasonal service from May through October. But the airport says the flights have been doing so well. They say more than 70,000 passengers have flown the route since it launched last year, and that is why they are expanding their service.
Wow, so daily flights to Iceland, and then in the spring, daily flights to Paris. If you're looking to max out your retirement savings, Uncle Sam is letting you sock away another $500 next year. The IRS announced new contribution limits. For most company-provided plans, saving maximums will increase from $22,500 to $23,000 in 2024. Caps for the government's thrift savings plan and most personal IRAs will increase about the same amount. Now, if you have a Roth IRA, contribution amounts will adjust based on income levels for individuals and married couples. Food inflation is showing signs of easing, but it might not mean a cheaper Thanksgiving meal for families. A new report says the turkey will be cheaper this year, but the entire Thanksgiving meal will probably end up being more expensive, especially those canned food items. Those prices are up this year due to labor, packaging, and transportation costs. Prices for canned cranberries, for example, are up almost 60%. From the same time last year. Fresh fruits and vegetables rose 1 to 2%.
Reducing the risk of children harmed or killed by guns. That's the goal of a one-minute video. We'll share the results of this important research after the break.
And remembering legendary college basketball coach Bob Knight, his impact on the program at Indiana University and coaches across the country. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers for Carolina Pick 3, Pick 4, and Cash 5.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A 1 minute video could help reduce the chances of a child misusing a gun if they come across one.
That's according to new research from The Ohio State University. Ted Linder takes a closer look at the findings that could save lives.
The results of a recent study could help prevent accidental child firearm deaths and injuries. The experiment from The Ohio State University involved more than 200 kids ages 8 to 12. Pairs of children were placed in a playroom, staged with various toys and a file cabinet containing two disabled handguns. Over time, curiosity led many to open the cabinet and find the guns. But what happened next varied based on several factors. A week prior to the study, half the kids were shown a one-minute gun safety video recorded by a police officer. The other half watched an officer explain car safety.
Children who had seen the gun safety video were much more likely to tell an adult, were much less likely to touch it. If they did touch it, they held it for less time. If they held it at all, they were less likely to pull the trigger.
Researchers believe the gun safety video was especially effective because the message was delivered by an authority figure. Meanwhile, the study exposed other risk factors researchers say influence kids to pick up and play with the guns.
Boys were more likely to behave recklessly with the guns than the girls were. We also found that if kids were watching more age-inappropriate media, such as PG-13 or R-rated movies, they were also more likely to behave recklessly with the guns.
These results come at a time when guns remain the leading cause of death for kids in the U.S. The CDC says it's critical gun owners lock their unloaded weapons in a safe.
That was Ted Linder reporting. And according to our Office of the State Medical Examiner, child firearms deaths doubled between 2019 and 2021. In 2019, there were 13 child suicides by gun. 2 years later, there were 38, nearly triple. And gun homicides also jumped sharply from 39 to 68. Public health experts told the Child Fatality Task Force it's largely because there are more guns around than there used to be, and they're often not secured.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston and Cumberland counties. On Saturday, the Junior League of Smithfield is holding a Touch a Truck fundraiser. Kids can learn about fire trucks, emergency vehicles, tractors, farm equipment, and more by interacting with them. It'll be from 9 until 2 in downtown Smithfield. The event is free, but you can donate $5 for bounce houses and activities. You can also bring non-perishable food to donate to Johnston County's Blessing Box. A quiet hour without honking or flashing lights is from 9 to 10 a.m. Great news out of Cumberland County. This year's Walk to End Alzheimer's in Fayetteville raised more than $130,000. 700 participants took part in this year's event at Segret Stadium. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays emceed the event.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a really important note for parents. The FDA has just come out and said kids may be receiving the wrong dose of the new COVID vaccine. We're talking about Moderna's vaccine for kids ages 6 months to 11 years old. They say a single dose contains notably more than the 0.25 milliliter dosage that children should be receiving. And the FDA says some healthcare providers may not realize that. So what they should do, pediatricians and health providers should withdraw the 0.25 milliliters from the vial and then just discard the rest.
Thanks, Michelle. A college basketball coaching icon has died. Bobby Knight made history by winning more than 900 games. He passed away last night at the age of 83. Kurt Gregory looks back at his legendary life and career.
Fake trap, John.
An old school basketball coach, Bobby Knight was intimidating, demanding, demeaning. And his teams won in dominating fashion. His college coaching began at Army in the mid-60s. The man known as the General took the Indiana job in 1971 and built the Hoosiers into a legendary program. A Final Four appearance in just his second season, a perfect 32-0 season, and the first of three national championships in 1976. 11 Big Ten titles in all, and a 1984 Olympic gold medal.
People want national championship banners. People want to talk about Indiana being competitive. How do we get there? We don't get there with milk and cookies. We never have, and we never will.
But success on the court didn't always create harmony off the court.
Just get some more motion going before we get to the point where we got a shot.
Knight was known for his innovation.
Joby Wright is trying to hold him back.
And for his explosive behavior. He threw a chair and sparred with fans, media, and school administration.
You don't need to be back in here. Just take that thing around, turn it off.
After being given the choice to resign or be fired,
I notified him that he was being removed as basketball coach, effective immediately.
Indiana dismissed its legendary coach in 2000, although Knight's feud with the school continued for years. He moved on to Texas Tech in 2001 and led the Red Raiders to four straight 20-win seasons, then retired from coaching in 2008. Ironically, after verbally jousting with the media for years, he spent nearly 7 years as a college basketball analyst. A man fascinated by history, Knight made history with 902 wins. Bobby Knight, a volatile and defiant Hall of Fame coach who demanded his teams achieve excellence his way. Kurt Gregory, NBC News.
I can tell you personally, he was an intimidating interview. Former Duke men's basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski played for Knight at Army, got his coaching career started there as an assistant to Knight. And in a statement, Krzyzewski said, "Knight recruited me, mentored me, and had a profound impact on my career and life." You can read more about the life and legacy of Coach Bob Knight online at WRLSportsFan.com.
The Texas Rangers are the World Series champions for the first time. They were held without a hit for the first six innings of last night's Game 5 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But the Rangers pulled away in the last three innings and got a 5-0 win to take the series 4-1. They won all 11 games they played in the playoffs. That's a new major league record. Corey Seager was named the World Series MVP. He hit three home runs during the five games of the series. He also got the first hit last night that got things rolling for the Rangers. And all that champagne. Two popular amusement parks are coming together. Six Flags announced today that it is merging with Cedar Fair, which owns Carowinds. The $8 billion deal will create a theme park powerhouse. The new company will keep the Six Flags name. It will operate a total of 27 amusement parks and 15 water parks across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The merger is expected to be complete next year after shareholder approval.
Using a humidifier can help with a number of health issues, but how to make sure it's safe if you're using it in a baby's room.
Plus, one major city's unique approach to house those without a home. We'll explain how these tiny homes are popping up in parking lots and other properties. Take WRL News with you on the go. Download the WRL app on your streaming devices to watch our live newscasts and keep up to date on breaking news.
Welcome back. We have this beautiful live look right now at Dick's Park, where there will be newly installed Wi-Fi enabled benches soon, thanks to a $100,000 grant from Google. This is what the benches will look like. They are designed for people who do not have mobile data plans that allow them to stay connected while out and about. The Conservancy will work with the city to decide where to place those six benches. Installations are expected to be completed by early 2024. Nike's newest shoe could be just what your toddler needs to hit the ground running. The Nike Swoosh One is meant to help toddlers learn how to walk. It's designed with recycled materials and features a wide toe box, allowing the toes to flex and spread, which is key for balance. The outsole also has a tight grip for durability and traction. It's the first baby-friendly shoe from Nike to receive the seal of acceptance from the American Pediatric Medical Association.
$62 for a pair, and they'll wear it for a month or two before they need a bigger size. The cold weather means drier air, and you may be thinking about using a humidifier. It could help your family sleep more comfortably. Now, if you're using a humidifier around an infant or small child, you'll want one that's safe for the nursery and that you're using properly. It's best to position your humidifier on a flat level surface, raised at least 2 feet above the floor. This allows more moisture to dissipate into the air. You also want to make sure that you're cleaning your device regularly.
Important to keep your humidifier clean because you don't want a buildup of gunk inside that can spread microbes through the air and possibly get you sick.
Consumer Reports recommends rinsing and drying the tank thoroughly every day and sanitizing the unit with vinegar once a week.
So no gunk. Tiny homes are popping up across parts of San Diego. How these emergency cabins are giving hope to people experiencing homelessness.
Plus, these aliens might not be out of this world, but they are certainly worth a giggle. We'll show you a few contest submissions shared by a home security company. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Cary police will talk to the media in the next few hours about a man accused of threatening to shoot children. Police arrested 46-year-old Kevin Douglas yesterday at a Cary hotel. He bonded out of jail last night and called Ken Smith here in the WRL newsroom this morning around 8:30. Douglas told him he was trying to report someone else who was threatening violence and believes the FBI is pinning this on him. An hour later, Cary police arrested Douglas a second time for violating his pretrial conditions, which stated he would not use the phone or computer.
Southern Nash High School student accused of shooting four people at the Wilson County Fairgrounds is now being held on a $1 million bond. Braulio Fuentes Martinez appeared in court this morning to answer the charges, including attempted murder. The 18-year-old was on the run for days before surrendering to law enforcement about 24 hours ago. All of the people shot have been released from the hospital.
Parents, you'll want to hear this. The FDA issued an alert today saying children may be receiving the wrong dose of the new COVID-19 vaccine. This is specific to the Moderna version being given to children 6 months to 11 years old. The correct dosage is 0.25 milliliters. The alert says the vial has notably more than that amount. It does not indicate how many times this has happened or what the side effects could be.
Ring is releasing footage from its alien sighting contest, and let's just say the submissions are just too funny to be true. The home security system company announced it would reward a customer $1 million if they caught unaltered evidence of real aliens on a Ring device. So one customer's submission includes an alien holding a sign that reads, "Been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty."
Too funny. Now, if you have a fur baby, chances are it's jumped into your bed a time or two, or maybe very often. But is it a good idea to let your pet sleep in the bed with you? A sleep psychologist says animals can offer a source of comfort and security. But even though it might be nice to have them right by your side, it shouldn't come at the cost of your sleep. If your pet is constantly making noises or otherwise distracting, it may not be a good idea to sleep with them.
Pet of the day, 10-year-old male, weighs 83 pounds. Highlander, a gentle older guy, love a nice quiet home, spend his retirement. SPCA of Wake County is the place to get more information on him.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Enjoy your Thursday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.